I don't think that I've ever told my audience this, but my lineage, my family lineage, can actually be traced back to my family having coming. My family came over on the Mayflower. It was one of the original families. Now, having said that, I'm going to read David a fax, and then we're going to see where we are here. The fax comes from British Columbia. We're heard throughout the Americas. This is BC. Comes from Corey. Art, I need you to ask David a question. I met David in Aruba at a summer conference in June. Were you in Aruba in June, David?
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, David was signing his books at his table with many around him. I had a chance to ask him if he'd ever heard of Art Bell and why he'd never been on your program. He told me the only reason he'd never been invited on your program was because you, Art Bell, are a 33rd degree Mason and would not want to be exposed on national radio. My question for David is whether he still believes you are a part of the higher elite Masons. Maybe you have this bloodline. David?
Well, I have absolutely no evidence that you're a 33rd degree Freemason, so I wouldn't suggest that you're a 33rd degree Freemason. If you're asking me about your show, I think it's...
Did you give that answer to this man? Do you recall that?
Well, I have no evidence that you're a 33rd degree Freemason, so why would I say that? I take it you're not a Freemason.
Well, I'm frequently asked if I am, and I get so sick of the question. I'm asked if I'm CIA, NSA, and all the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
I just say, sure. And that seems to stop them cold, and they don't know what to do, and they don't know what to say, and it stops them, and that's the easiest way to do it. Denial seems to go nowhere. It just reinforces their preconception of what I was. So I've given up answering no. I just say, sure. Sure.
Right. Well, in terms of programs like this or any other, it's very important that anyone listening to these shows, including listening to what I say, filter the information and ask themselves whether it feels right to them. Ask themselves a question that I filter information with all the time, which is, who benefits? Who benefits me from believing this? If I believe this, is it positive? Or if I believe this, does it... is it a problem, reaction, solution, situation, or whatever?
But how do you delineate between me and the X-Files or Independence Day or anything else? I mean, here I am, now owned by one of the largest broadcasting corporations in America, J-Corp, which is now owned by a larger corporation, maybe soon the largest in the world, Clear Channel, and Premier and all the rest of it, and I'm a part of this giant corporate conglomerate. But I'm sitting here in my little room doing the program like I always did. No change. I've been doing it for 14 years now, David.
Right. Well, let's look at the way this thing works. If large numbers of people realized this was going on, it couldn't work. So what it's structured as is a series of pyramids. If you think of pyramids as like Russian dolls, one inside another, a bank is a pyramid. Most people working for a bank, you meet them across the counter every day.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going in, they're earning a living, and then they're going home. And they're just thinking about their families. They've not got a clue what they're part of. But at the top of that pyramid in that bank, you've got a tiny, tiny few people who know what the real agenda of that bank is. They know how all the different contributions lower down the pyramid fit together to create a direction, to create an agenda, etc.
So
the individual parts do not.
Then, David, could I be an unwitting dupe?
Well, we all could be unwitting dupes. This is the question we keep having to ask ourselves. If you look at the media, I was a journalist for a very long time. People say... the media is manipulating. It is, but the vast, vast overwhelming majority of journalists are not knowingly manipulating anyone. They're part of a structure in which they themselves are being manipulated. You only need a very few people in this structure who know what's really going on to manipulate the whole pyramid.
Well, I have no illusions about what I am, David. I am a talk show host. I am not a journalist. Big difference. You're...
No, I don't think there is a difference. Any situation where you have access to broadcast to the public, you are a channel of communication of information. And therefore,
yes.
we all of us, whether we're journalists or whether we call ourselves talk show hosts or researchers or whatever, have a duty to do whatever we can to ensure the information that hits the public is not disinformation, is actually as true as we can establish it, or at least give people the opportunity to make their own mind up. If you look at the journalistic profession, and you look at most reports in the news, where are they getting their information from? They're saying things like, White House sources say this, FBI sources say this. Most of the journalistic profession is merely a voice piece and a copy typist for the official version of events.
Quite right.
And the way the journalism is structured, someone has to be an expert on a different subject every day, and tomorrow it's a different subject. Now, people in that situation, which is what most journalists are in, are actually, therefore, at the mercy of what people tell them is true, and this is overwhelmingly official sources. So I had asked people, watch a CNN news bulletin, watch any news bulletin, and listen to the words and listen to the sources, and basically news bulletins are official voice pieces for the official version of events.
It's true.
Now, what also happens, and this is all part of the manipulation that goes back a long time, all you have to do to control the direction of the world, control the direction of people's thinking, and set the point of reference from which the media reports the world is to set the norms in society.
Mm-hmm.
To set what people are conditioned to believe is right or wrong, possible or impossible, sane or insane, etc. Most people will live their lives within that those norms, that hassle-free zone, as I call it, that comfort zone. And most of the rest who realize that the norms are flawed will still live their life within them because they fear the consequences of being different in a world of uniformity. Because it becomes a hassle to be different in this world.
Well, I will give you this. I have had great contact with the mass media right at the top. And I can tell you this. When the Associated Press runs a wire story, it's like the Holy Grail. And then the rest of the media will grab the story and they have a certain angle with which they want to tell this story. And God help anybody who gets in the way of that angle with a fact that disputes it. It doesn't happen. It comes out the way they want it to come out. I know that to be true.
That's precisely the way it works. I mean, you sit in a newsroom, and I've sat in many, and people get journalists, they read the morning papers. They've got CNN permanently on. They've got the wires, which you talk about, giving the... basically the official version of events.
Yes.
And you look at what happened to that guy on the San Jose Mercury when he and that paper had the guts to come out with the expose of how government agencies put crack cocaine onto the streets of Los Angeles.
They were stepped on.
They were hit by a tidal wave. And where did a lot of that tidal wave come from? It came from the Los Angeles Times, and it came from the Washington Post, and it came from the official controlled, in terms of those major newspapers, media sources. And so, again, let's look at the situation in summary here. You've got the education system, which is battering children from a very early age with an official version of life. You've got the media that's pounding out the official version of life. And someone said to me once, that summed it up, they said, you know, when you're born to loving parents, and they tell you that 2 and 2 equals 5. And then you go to your first school, and nice teachers tell you 2 and 2 equals 5. And then you go to university, and professors with lots of letters after their name tell you 2 and 2 equals 5. All your peers are telling you the same because they've been through the same system. You pick up a newspaper or turn on the television, and you're being told 2 and 2 equals 5. Is it any wonder that most people go through their lives, entire lives, symbolically believing 2 and 2 equals 5. In other words, the official version of life is the only version there is.
Mm-hmm.
And delinking people from the spiritual information of the true power that we have to control our own destiny has been fundamental to this. Believing that we have to look to someone else to do it for us, that we're powerless, that we're just a cosmic accident, or we're subject to some judgmental God. In other words, we are just little people and we have no power. Once you get people in that mentality, they are a manipulator's party trick. And most people are in that mentality. And it's not by accident. It's by design. And when you, again, look at the cross-referencing of people in education opinion formers, in banking, in all these different apparently unconnected areas, they keep fitting into the same people and the same network of organizations which coordinate through these apparently unconnected areas of our lives the same basic policy. And this is why throughout the last particularly 200 years, but this century overwhelmingly, just look at any area of our lives, politics, banking, business, media, the power in all those areas has incessantly gone into fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer hands, and this fits with the agenda, which is to create a world government, which nation states would be nothing more than administrative areas to, a world central bank, a world currency, which would be electronic and not cash, for which there are fundamentally implications for freedom,
well, we're on
a
the
world
way to,
army, and a microchip population.
Yeah, we're on the way to that now. With regard to the economy, we're about three-quarters of the way there right now.
We are, absolutely. And as we enter or head towards this this key point in this agenda's journey through history, this millennium period, we are going to see, and we are seeing, lots of cards being played to create chaos. Chaos offers the ability or the opportunity to present order out of that chaos. What you do when you create chaos is you get people to say, do something, we're back to problem, reaction, solution, and you offer your solution to the chaos. And the solution to the chaos that is being planned in the months ahead and across the millennium is for a world government, a world army, which is designed to be NATO. And my earlier books predicted that NATO would expand into the former Soviet Union, that the European Union, which is now going to a single bank, central bank, and a single currency throughout the whole of Europe, would encompass the former Soviet Union countries. These are happening now. And the more wars, the more computer chaos, the more the aliens are coming, save us from it, the more that can be pounded into the public domain, the more the consciousness screams, do something, save us, and then the opportunity is there to offer the solution, and that's the agenda unfolding. And what I was saying earlier about the report from Iron Mountain fits magnificently with what's happening now. Two of the things that report suggested in the 1960s was A, to centralize power and control the population without wars, A, a global threat to the environment, and that card has demonstrably been played, because 2 years after the report from Iron Mountain reported, 66, came the Club of Rome, 1968.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Kissinger, Rockefeller, Giovanni Agnelli, a major, major player in Italy, operation. And when you look at all the major global environmental reports through the 70s and the 80s saying there is a global environmental problem, something must be done, they were all fronted and funded by the very people who are dismantling this world's ecology. The first head of the UN Environment Agency was Maurice Strong, a Canadian oil millionaire, who's now an advisor to Kofi Annan, the UN Secretary General. Global 2000 report to the president at the end of the Carter administration. Again, the personnel there, like Cyrus Vance, were connected to all this network of organizations. The first head of the main head of the 1992 Earth Summit in Brazil, Maurice Strong, again, very much connected into the Rockefeller network. So the environment card has created tremendous opportunities for transnational global laws, and now, and many people in America are beginning to see this now, for great chunks of America and other parts of the world to be handed over to the United Nations to save the environment. Another thing that I expose massively in my next book is the way the Worldwide Fund for Nature has been used to create tremendous manipulation and conflict in Africa. And that, of course, is headed by Prince Philip, of which there is a great deal to know. So the environment suggestion in the report from Iron Mountain in the 60s has demonstrably been played in the 70s and the 80s. And also in that report, it suggested as a way of controlling the population and centralizing power, a threat from an extraterrestrial force. And I would suggest, and a number of other people are beginning to come to the same conclusion,
Are you aware that
that is now being played?
That Ronald Reagan, any number of times during his administration, sort of gave us a what if the world had band together to fight some extraterrestrial force or somebody from space. I'm sure you're well aware of what he said.
Yes, I am. And, of course, Ronald Reagan didn't move his lips without the autocue was running, symbolically or otherwise. So he said it because he was meant to say it. And I have had an interesting quote here, Art, actually, which was apparently written down by a Swiss delegate at a Bilderberg meeting in France in 1994, Bilderberg being one of the network of coordinating organizations.
Oh, yes.
And the quote is alleged to come from Henry Kissinger. Now, whether this is 100% accurate or not, it magnificently sums up the situation. What Kissinger is alleged to have said is this: today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, whether real or promulgated, that threatened our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead with world leaders to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by their world government. And what we're seeing now with Iraq, with Kosovo and Bosnia that went before, and these other situations where NATO, etc., is being drawn in to set the precedent of being a world army and a world police force, is problems created so the solution can be offered. And the solution is more and more power and more precedent set for NATO to become the world army it's designed to
be.
Well,
as a matter of fact, we're on the eve, apparently, of stomping back into Iraq with cruise missiles, at the very least, it would seem.
Well, one of the things that I document in great detail in my last book, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, is how the, and other people have done this too with excellent research, is how the two world wars, never mind the one in Iraq, the two world wars were funded and fronted by the same people who were connected to the same network. The Russian Revolution was funded from Wall Street and London. The Hitler was funded via the German subsidiaries of American and British multinational corporations and via the Bank of England, whose head at the time was a guy called Montague Norman.
All right, David,
who was a very close friend of the of Hitler's banker.
All right, hold it right there, David. David Icke is my guest. Get a pencil and paper. When we come back, we'll tell you how to get his book. Go get that pencil and paper right now. Good morning, everybody. In a moment, we're going to get back to David Icke, and when we do, we're going to tell you how to get his book, and by now, I've got a feeling you definitely are going to want it, so if you're prepared, it's coming up next. David, you've got a number of books out. If somebody was going to, if you were going to recommend that somebody buy one of your books right now, which one would you be recommending?
It would be And the Truth Shall Set You Free.
And the Truth Shall Set You Free.
Yeah, it's 500 pages of constantly sourced and highly detailed information, which takes the theory out of conspiracy theory and shows that this is happening, and it's not just someone's kind of imagination. The cross-referencing of names and information and subject areas is stunning. Because the evidence is there. What did they say? The truth is out there. It certainly is if you want to look for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I understand right now, as in this moment, they can call the number and there's actual people there?
That's right, yeah. Some very dedicated people who are trying to, you know, make sure this information gets out. 1-800-321-9054.
All right, that's 1-800-321-9054. And they can actually call right now. Now, normally, on any other day, this special deal tonight, I guess, any other day, it's between 8:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the afternoon. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. But, folks, if the lines are busy, please keep trying. No matter what you do, write the number down. Get this book, 1-800-321-9054, and the truth shall set you free.